Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan. I'm Scott, and with me as always, the Burgermeister to my Meister Burger, it's Dan.
Good Dan. Evening, Scott. How's it going? Ready to kick off 2017 with some tight-ass podcasting?
Tight-ass podcasting.
Only if it's your tight-ass.
Oh, yeah. 2017, my motto is, not turning it down, so...
I just think tight ass means uptight for some reason. It just makes no sense to me. Well, since someone piped in before I respond to your question, or maybe I just ignore it entirely, let's get a certain red carpet introduction out here for our little STVD All-Star Squad. First, take it off mute, please. Vicky?
Hi, guys.
Just wanted to make sure. And then we have joining us Shkade.
Hi again, everybody.
And returning to the podcast, Mr. Fun himself, Jason.
I like to be called Mr. Fun. That is true.
Yes.
Yay, me.
Yay, we.
Yay.
Well, it has been.
Don't tell us the history of Mr. Fun, because I'm sure that's the villain of like somebody. So we'll just save that for later.
I bring the energy. What can I say?
Negative energy. Anyway, it's been quite a while since all five of us have gotten together here. And as anyone listening to this knows, we've clearly taken our sweet ass time getting to this podcast, because tonight
we figured all of our listeners would still be hungover from New Year. So happy New Year, listeners! Happy New Year.
two weeks into the new year. Oh, they're already getting ready for Christmas. We are planning to finally discuss the sort of, kind of, but not exactly mid-season finales for three of the four shows that we like to cover on this podcast here. I'll be honest, if we had gotten to this when we thought we were going to, which was actually several weeks ago, we did plan to lead off with a segment about our lingering thoughts and questions about that big Heroes versus Aliens crossover that happened. Good Lord, I think it happened almost 7 weeks ago now. It's been so long.
Yeah.
So, I got a few notes on that. I might just post them on Facebook, like the thread for this podcast or something. It just seems silly to talk about it at this point. However, I did think it might be a good idea to get into just a little teensy tiny bit of news regarding some superhero shows, and specifically the ones that we cover more than anything else. And since we do have our own little resident Lois Lane with us, I thought I might give it over to Vicky to let us know some really cool news.
As I shared, I think, in our Facebook group, I did an article, and all four CW shows have been renewed. So if you want to read some more on that, you can join our Facebook group and read the article from popculthq.com. And then we always have superhero show news on there, too, so you can read some more there.
Yeah, that article, just to alert folks, Vicky does get into a lot of things, plot lines or characters that are slated to happen on a few of these shows. Some really cool news. I decided we're not going to get into that on the podcast. We're actually going to be a bit non-spoilery for a change. But if you don't care about that kind of stuff, check out the article, because there's a couple tidbits there that we've actually discussed in the past on this podcast that are really exciting to find out about.
Yeah, it discusses some returning characters.
Don't even hit.
No.
Excellent. But speaking of returning, there's another piece of news that you, I think, was part of that same article that we can talk about. So, and what would that be, Vicky? Because I know you were excited just as much as I was about it.
Yes. We're getting Constantine back. He's going to be a cartoon animated series on CW Seed, a la the Vixen series.
Right, and Matt Ryan himself is doing the voice, which is really cool. And what gives a lot of us hope now is, much like the Vixen series did, and the actress who played the voice for that character, I believe this gives us an opening where maybe he could come back and show up on one of the shows again. I mean, I think that's entirely possible now, because that's supposed to be part of the entire universe, the CW, DC, whatever we call it, universe, right?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I don't think there are any plans to do that as of right now, but I think we're all hoping that that does actually happen.
I want to
see him making some kind of deal where, like, you know, he does like 13 episodes or whatever, the animated thing, and then like also does like, you know, two live action things or something. I mean, that'd be cool if they did that anyway.
I would love for him to show up like on Legends of Tomorrow. I think it would be really cool for him to show up there with that variety of characters, and also to play off the actor who plays Rip Hunter would kind of be fun, I think. So I'd rather see him there than say Arrow. Arrow's kind of like, yeah, he's done that. And I don't see how he would fit on The Flash very well. Although I guess he could. But Legends might be a good fit for him, I think. Supergirl is the dream, but it makes no sense. So I know that's not going to happen. Other than the CW shows, which obviously are bread and butter here on this podcast, I thought I just might mention we should also be on the lookout in the coming months for some other superhero TV shows. Some we all know about, some we might have forgotten about. There's a really interesting one that's going to be premiering in February on FX called Legion. I think we have a special, at least me and Dan for sure. Oh, probably Jason too. Forgot. Probably Jason as well. Might have a special interest in that because the person behind it is the person behind Fargo.
Noah Hawley. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and
but fuck him. Aubrey Plaza's in it, and I love her. So fuck no, Holly.
Okay, that's I'm not sure why one we have to say fuck him just because they're both. It should be just two more. One more, anyway.
Okay, oh, three way. Okay,
understand. No, ouch. Okay, wow. All right. I'm glad the year has gotten off to such a great podcast. So I'm kind of intrigued by that, and that's going to be part of the. It's pretty much an extension of the part of the X-Men universe, so to speak. Although, from what Noah was saying, he doesn't really see it as really connecting to the X-Men cinematic universe per se, but it still will. It still does fall under that jurisdiction, so we'll see. And March will bring us the Iron Fist show on Netflix, so that'll be the next big Marvel show. So I guess we're kind of intrigued to see how that works, and wonder if it'll also fall prey to the three episodes too long issue that seems to plague all the Marvel Netflix shows. And what's the other one? Oh, the summer will, and speaking of Marvel Netflix, I believe by June or July, I don't remember which month it is right off the top of my head, I think that's when they think the Defenders show will finally make its debut, which is the crossover of all four of the Marvel characters. So that's something else to look forward to later this year. I'm assuming some of you are excited about that. I don't know.
I'm looking forward to Iron Fist a lot. So he's one of my favorite Marvel characters. So hopefully they make that show like really fucking cool. I'm not really sure what they're planning, but
yeah, and you're absolutely right about the not being too long. Jeez, fix that situation.
Yeah, I mean, at least the one good thing about the Defender series that we know in advance is it's a shorter season. I think it might be eight episodes.
It's eight. Yep.
Eight's a great number. You know, it's you know, eight leaves you wanting more. That I think that's the key. You want the season to end. You want to be like, oh, I just wished it was like one more episode, and not because they needed to be more story told. You missed the show or something. These 13 episode seasons with the Marvel stuff, they just they always have that issue where they're dragging at a certain point. Even when it's really good, like Luke Cage had it, you know, Jessica Jones had it. God knows both seasons of Daredevil have had it. So I'm hoping that won't happen with Iron Fist, but I guarantee it will. I just know it will.
Hey, Kate, have you watched any Daredevil season 2 or Luke Cage yet?
No.
Me neither. Woo!
I have not watched either of them. I don't know what it is. I just lost interest in the Marvel stuff as far as the Netflix things goes.
Wow.
There's so many other things I have watched in that time when I could have easily watched both, and I just have not. And I couldn't really tell you a reason. I just haven't watched them.
Well,
Yeah, I started watching stuff on Netflix more often lately. And I've been doing HBO for a while, and then I switched to Netflix. So I suppose I want to watch Luke Cage just so I can listen to Mike Moody's podcast on it, and, you know, to set up Defenders and all that shit. But yeah, I'm not getting to it either. So yeah.
Don't binge Luke Cage. Just take that in like two or three episodes at a time, and then leave it alone for a day or so.
I never binge anything. It'll be like 6 months before I get through it. So.
Jason, you're like anti-binge?
For Luke Cage, I am. And for Jessica Jones, I was, because I felt like this is just too much. Like, as you said, it's too much. I find my mind wandering off about four or five episodes in. You're like, it's better in shorter segments.
Interesting.
And there's other things, like I knocked out the OA the other day in a single day, and I thought that was... Well, that's for another time, but you know, I still do binge stuff, but
okay.
But the Marvel stuff you should not watch all at once.
Interesting. I'm not sure I agree with you on that, but I don't know if I disagree either. I think it falls under the I don't care. So, in that case, let's get to the rest of our podcast. And the reason why we're actually here is talk about those CWDC shows. And let's lead off with, and we're going to go way back to, was it like the first week of December all these shows were on? Is that how far back we have to go for this?
Yes. Yeah, because it was the last week of November. We had the crossover.
Right. Oh, yeah. The fucking crossover. Okay. And that's when we already did the Supergirl finale way back when. Okay. So let's get to these quote unquote mid-season finales, and let's start with The Flash. Now, that episode was titled The Present, which, I don't know, oh so cleverly can mean in terms of time as well as a gift, because they're really deep on The Flash, you know. All right, so here's a not-so-nearly-fast-as-The-Flash kind of rundown. Let's see if I can remember here. Realizing he's going to need some help dealing with the likes of Savitar and Alchemy, Barry zips over to Earth 3 to get Jay Garrick. I don't know why he didn't do that during the whole Dominator storyline, but anyway. So Jay goes into father-mentor mode with Barry while taking the time to get his own CGI drawn-ass kicked by Savitar, while Barry knocks out Alchemy and closes the lid on the Pandora's box that apparently not only holds the Philosopher's Stone, but also a direct link to keeping Savitar tangibly in this universe, or something like that. It's not really that clear. Alchemy is unmasked to be, ta-da, Julian, which turns out to be news to Julian. A bunch of other stuff happens that we'll talk about later. Let's just fast forward through a lot of the technical gobbledygook that this show does so much of, that enables Savitar to use Julian like some sort of megaphone, where he declares, "I am the future, Flash." And then in true omens of evil portent, he tells Barry and the rest of Team Flash that one shall betray you, one shall fall, and one shall know sorrow worse than death. Barry and Jay realize they need to get rid of the Philosopher's Stone, and they determine that since it can't be destroyed, although I personally think Barry could have called up Supergirl and asked her to launch it into the sun, but whatever. The only way to get rid of it is to throw it into the Speed Force, because there's never any evildoers hanging out in the Speed Force. So they rev up and do that, and then the blowback sends Barry about 5 months into the future, you know, which would be close to the end of the season, which is where he sees Savitar turn Iris into a shish kebab. After that, in a lecture by Jay, that just like a Christmas carol, this is only a possible future, but not definite, we end on a sentimental series of scenes celebrating the holidays and Barry getting a place for the two of them to live. Luckily, Barry has all that Star Labs money, because in about 5 months, that's going to be a one-income household. So, there you have it. First, let's talk about Jay Garrick, because we got to spend a lot of time with them in this episode, both in and out of this episode. And I'm just remembering now, this was the episode where we had that little, what do we call it? Escapade, shall we say, with that universe's version of the Trickster. So, with this one, was there anything that really stood out as good or bad or in between with Barry and Jay and all that kind of stuff in this episode? Let's go to the man we haven't heard on the podcast for a while, because you're tired of hearing me at this point. Jason, tell us about Jay Garrick and what did you think?
Jay Garrick is fabulous. I love him in this show. I wish they could have him more than what they do. Not every week, but, you know, like every 3 weeks or so. He fits into that mentor spot well. And come on, you have to admit, he wears the suit perfectly. The hat, it's wonderful. And, you know, it is a nice little nod to see Mark Hamill do his Joker thing as a trickster. Just for a couple minutes. I thought he was going to play a bigger part in the episode. But I guess I was happy with what I got.
The Mark Hamill's trickster in this specific episode, there was a few people I saw online who didn't have quite as positive a reaction to it. I think they're big humbugs, if I may continue our little Christmas theme for a middle of January podcast. I really enjoyed. Did you enjoy his Joker-esque trickster on Earth 3? I mean, I really enjoyed it.
I loved it. I loved it. I'm not saying we should have it all the time.
No.
But for what we saw, it was a nice little Easter egg to throw out there for the animated series fans and for like the Arkham series fans of the video games too. Just to see the voice and the face at the same time.
Yeah, because even though his previous Earth One trickster obviously was kind of a over the top scenery chewing kind of a portrayal, you're right. He totally went in a different direction with this, channeling the over the top Joker-esque type of stuff. If we had an entire episode of that, yeah, that might have really worn on the nerves after a while. But I think he was smart, and the people behind it were smart. We knew we were only going to get maybe 90 seconds tops of him, so why not just go for it and make it as memorable as possible? That's why I thought it worked for me.
Yeah, just let him chew the scenery. Chew it up.
Vicky, what did you think of Jay and company?
I loved it. You know, I'm always loving it when we get Jay Garrick. He's just such the perfect mentor for Barry, because he keeps him in line, and he's trying to get Barry to understand why he can't be doing all these things and just acting on his impulses. Jay has the experience that Barry needs to get so that he can do his job better and not mess everything up.
Yeah, I mean, I also love the fact that, you know, it's obviously John Wesley's ship doing that. So the fact that he was Barry's father, and now he's playing more of a role of a father to him now than he had in the series before in some ways, because he's really, you know, being that guiding force or a mentor for him, which he clearly kind of still needs, very much so. So I really love the interaction between these two different generations of Flashes, and it's something I always enjoyed, you know, even as a kid in the comic books, and I like that they, at least in this episode, we got to see it really utilized well on a TV show.
Yeah, because, like, you know, as much as Joe tries to be that father figure for Barry, he can't really speak to him on this speedster stuff because he has, you know, he doesn't have that experience whereas Jay does. So he can fill that part of the role there.
Right. And then, you know, and then there's the whole race thing, though. No, I'm kidding. I mean, because he's racing around, because he's the Flash, you see? Anyway. Daniel, did you have any opinions on Mr. Garrick, or should we move on to the next subject?
Yeah, I'm actually not in agreement with you guys. I understand what you're saying, but for me, I'm not really feeling, I'm just not really feeling this character that much. He doesn't really come off as, like, convincing as an authority on the Speed Force. It's just kind of, like, there. It isn't really convincing for me at this time. And for some reason, things feel a little disjointed, and it's like the two characters don't have, like, the chemistry that I would expect, like, any kind of chemistry. It just, you know, considering I've seen the same actors play different roles, and it works just fine, but for whatever reason, it just hasn't really worked for me yet. I don't know why. It's better than the other Jay Garrick, so there's that.
Much better than Teddy Sears' version, for sure.
Yeah, that's true. But I still don't see, like, this guy is just somebody that just like, oh, he knows what he's talking about. That makes perfect sense. It just kind of seems just kind of, eh, there.
Okay. It wouldn't be this podcast if we didn't have a difference of opinions on these things. So excellent. So speaking of things where I can anticipate there being difference of opinions, you know, this episode, at least they temporarily resolved the whole Savitar and Alchemy storyline, you know, at least for the moment, although we do know we're going to be seeing that so-called God of Speed again. But in this episode, were you guys satisfied with how they sort of kind of wrapped it up, or did it leave you feeling colder than a hand job from Caitlin or something? Sorry, Vicky. But I know I didn't really mention anything in that recap or whatever we call that thing I did about Sisko seeing his dead brother, which I guess was Savitar using him the way Julian says Savitar first uses dead sister's voice to lure him, blah, 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 whatever. But beyond the obvious thought that Sisko should know better, I didn't know if there's really anything much more to say about that other than, you know, hey, a couple nice moments with Caitlin. But we can certainly talk about that here as well. And if anyone wants to try to start speculating on what those three omens actually mean, you know, one shall betray you, one shall fall, and one shall know sorrow greater than death, toss that into the mix here as well. And since we, oddly enough, didn't get to hear him in the first little segment, we're going to start off with Shakade here. I'm going to keep doing that until you get pissed off at me.
It won't happen.
I know.
I'll break it to you now.
Shakade.
Nope. Shakade. It just makes me laugh. Shakade. That's what it does.
Shakade. Sure, I was going to Yankee Stadium, and I'm going to go on.
I really can't say I don't know how I feel about that storyline, the way they ended that. But that's probably because I'm not really sure I feel I don't know how I feel about the whole Savitar reveal and what that is. I still feel there's some sleight of hand going on here where they're still making you think it's one thing, but it's going to be something else. And the problem with the alchemy reveal is you reveal Julian's alchemy, and then the next week, oh, he's mind controlled. It's like, we wanted to make you think he's bad, but we can't tell if we want him to be bad, so we're playing this game that we can then kind of mess around for a while before we decide what we really want him to be. That's how that feels with that character, and that's how this storyline is making me feel now. I'm like, it doesn't feel wrapped up. It feels like, hey, we put this here. It has a nice little bow on it, but it just doesn't work at this point. That's honestly, yeah, I don't feel it works. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how I feel about this Savitar storyline now, when it was just this God of Speed thing, but now that he can be trapped in a box, and when he's out, he controls people. It doesn't have a good... I don't know what they're trying to do. I know they want to make him... I know they don't want it just another speedster, so it's like, oh, here's a different thing we're going to do, but it doesn't feel... Maybe at the end it'll make sense, but right now it just feels off. It doesn't have anything, there's no little thing that makes me go, okay, I can kind of see where they're going. It's like, well, that's just strange. And that's how I feel about it. It just seems strange. It doesn't have any real, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is.
Gravitas?
I don't like it. Yeah, that's it. It seems a little bit, oh, we found this little box. We can stop him by putting him in this little box and throwing it through time. That's silly. And I know it's a comic book show, but even the comic books, if that's what it was, I'd be like, that's silly. That does nothing for me. That doesn't interest me whatsoever. And that's my feeling on that.
So Dan, Shakade might have stolen what I anticipate was some negative thunder from you, but if you want to follow up on that.
Well, I'm positive about the rest of the episode. I'm a pretty big fan. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be so predictably unpredictable, but no, I can see what Cade's saying, and the way they've set up the storyline has just kind of been a little herky jerky. But I thought it worked out pretty well. I mean, really good acting by the dude that plays Julian. Fuck, I don't care what his name is. He did a good job,
that really helped.
Tom Felton.
4 foot tall Indiana Jones, British guy. I don't fucking care. But he did a good job with that storyline, and you know, has a nice cool facial hair. So that helps sell the role too. But there was enough, like, you know, where I was able to have some emotional pull in it, even if it was kind of a you know, stock story for this kind of thing that we've probably seen on Arrow and some of these other shows. It's the kind of thing that happens. But so it was cool enough.
You have any thoughts on this, Vicky, before Jason pipes in?
I'm gonna side with Cade on this. I don't know if it's...
that's so pleasant for everyone in their iPods. Come on.
I don't know. It just seemed, I don't know, maybe a little just too bit easy. Like, I know obviously they can't have completely, you know, beat Savitar, but I don't know. It just seems a little too easy to kind of contain him. So, I don't know where they're gonna go from here, though.
But maybe it's a magic box.
Okay, you'd lie. But if it turned out it was a magic box and it connected to someone who I think it could be, I would be one of the happiest people.
Oh, Jesus!
What?
That's a good thought. I like that thought.
That was one of the when we started to see this thing. That's the first thought I had. I'm like, okay, if it's him, brilliant, brilliant.
Should we explain that?
I'll explain.
Yeah,
explain. I'm hoping. Theory. I'm hoping it's abracadabra, 64th century magician, and this all looks like magic to everyone, but it's him. Oh, that's who I'm hoping it really is.
Hence, they did say he's from the future.
If they could have abracadabra show up and just make me forget like half of the last couple seasons, that would be perfect. I gotta say, I think I agree with aspects of what everyone said to a certain degree. I mean, I won't say that I didn't like the scene when, you know, Tom Felton is possessed by Savitar and is talking to him and the voice, whatever. That was fun. I enjoyed that scene. And the stuff with him having to convince him that he actually is Dr. Alchemy, or Alchemy, whatever the fuck they call him on the show. I think the fundamental problem with the show this season is they're trying to have their cake and eat it too, kind of a thing. It's like, oh no, we're not going to do another speedster thing. It's like, yeah, but you still kind of did. It's, again, the bad guy is this, you know, awesome speed force power where you have to work so hard to explain not just what he or it is, but why he's bothering with Barry in the first place. And that's always, both last season and this season, it's made for a lot of clumsy, clunky storytelling. And that's unfortunate because in season one, we really got a good feel for the Reverse Flash, whether it be the Tom Cavanaugh character or the other fellow who actually is the Reverse Flash, whose name escapes me at the moment, but you know who I'm talking about. But we understood the motivation, we got it, and we felt it, and that's what made that season work so well. The Zoom thing kind of fell apart, you know, at least midway through the season. Once they made the reveals, it became stupid. Let's admit it, it was kind of stupid. And now with this, I think we were trying to tell ourselves, oh, but they've got the Alchemy character, so it's not really about that, oh, guess what, Alchemy's just a puppet of another speed creature, force, whatever fucking thing. And it's about, why is he doing this? Oh, God damn it. So I'm just looking forward to season four, and please let the bad guy not be speed related. Please. You know, I'm just enough. So I love the abracadabra idea only because it's, you know, it's a sci-fi magician from the 64th century, you know, which at least is not a speed guy. It's not going to happen, but it would be kind of cool.
Shh, don't ruin it.
No. I know. Well, if abracadabra shows up and sucks like Mirror Master, fuck all of you guys. So
I will say
except
that
you, Vicky.
I will say I thought that the reveal was kind of formulaic, something we've seen before in other shows and done better. It was no first season, mid-season ending where we had Wells saying that he was Reverse Flash. I will say that. But it didn't suck totally. But
are we talking about the Alchemy reveal, or
That, yeah, and also with the Savitar being in the box, as you would say. Like, I feel like, you know, it's just a pause on the storyline. It's not the end of the storyline.
Well, that's one of the odd things about the episode was it seems like they wrapped a lot of that stuff up, and then it kind of, the rest of the episode just kind of calmed down. The energy just kind of dissipated. And it's not that it got bad. It was just like, oh, okay. You know, it was all about Barry trying to deal with the fact that, you know, Iris is going to get killed in 5 months, and I better go get an apartment with her now or whatever. I don't know. Honestly, I'm probably hopeful about the rest of parts of the rest of the season because of, you know, spoilery things, which I won't mention here. But those still feel very individual episode kind of things. I don't have a lot of faith in this overall storyline. I hope it gets better, but right now this might be I have this weird feeling the rest of season three is going to be cherry picking the really good episodes and really just kind of going through the motions with the rest of it. That's how I'm seeing it right now.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder if we've already said something in the previous podcast that relates to the end of the season, like we did last year when we had said, well, this doesn't feel like Jay Garrick. I wonder if we've already said something like that and it turned out to be true.
I hope we have. And I'm probably drawing a blank on what you might be talking about.
Right? Me too. But you know, this is kind of one of those things that I remember from last year. It's like,
right.
The answer was right there in front of us the whole time. We just never thought of it that way.
So I just kind of already gave my like 2 cents on how I'm feeling about this season and where they're going. Does anyone else want to pipe in if they feel differently or the same, you know, about how they think the show is going right now? I mean, just as you guys may or may not know, because I don't know if you listened to it, when Dan and I did the Best of 2016 podcast, Dan talked extensively about his opinions on where Flash has gone over the last year. Dan, was that not like your selection as like one of your big disappointments for the year, if I recall?
Yeah, it was on my top 10 list, but only because I'm a fuckhead and didn't remember some other shows that should have been on my list, like Hell on Wheels or like other things.
Yes, I know.
So, but yeah, there's still time for them to fix things, and I think there's only one thing they can truly do that'll fix this, and that's to bring Speedweed on as executive producer. but until that, we're just going to have to cross our fingers and hope for the best.
Right.
Is the show as good as it was like in season one when they brought out like Going Rogue and the Out of Time episodes, and we were just amazed and floored by it? No, it's not at that point right now.
No,
but you know, the potential is there though.
Right. There might have been like one or two episodes so far this season that were like really pretty good, but I don't know if we've had one of those episodes where we're like, okay, we're going to be spending an hour talking about this one or kind of thing. I mean, and then the crossover doesn't count because that was more about everybody else, not about it being a Flash episode. So I'm not even going to count that one really. So yeah, you're right. We haven't had that Out of Time or Going Rogue kind of an episode. I mean, the Killer Frost one wasn't bad, if I recall. That one was pretty good, but we haven't had that kind of episode. So
We're looking at the fact that of the four shows that we've done, there have been many weeks where Flash was the fourth best of the week compared to the other three shows.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a sign of what the season's been so far. And not just because Arrow and Legends are far better this season than they were last season. Even amongst that, the Flash shows just don't compare to them week to week at times. They just don't have the same gripping feeling that the other ones have that we wanted to talk about those. That says a lot right there.
Well, I think part of it is because of what I was saying before. It's part of the storytelling. And when you don't have a clear focus on what the villain and what the motivation is, and I'm not talking about the mystery element. You can have all the mystery you want. But when you start peeling it back and you start finding out things, and none of the things we find out are all that interesting, that's kind of disappointing, and that's what's been happening with the show. I mean, it's always had certain issues. I mean, we know that they've had problems with female characters on The Flash, or, you know, either they don't utilize them very well, or they have them, the really good ones go away too fast, or something like that.
Or it's compared to the Star Trek episode you just watched, I guess, when it comes to writing female characters, like, Flash is much better than that episode of Next Generation.
Well, yeah, there's also about 30 years difference between these two things. So, you start looking at how many bad shows were written, you know, in the 80s. I'm not going to get into the Star Trek thing, but yeah, you're right. But it hurts for me personally because, you know, just as far as a superhero wise, the Flash is by far my favorite superhero of all these, and one of my favorites all time, period. So it's especially disappointing for me when, you know, all the other three are better than it from on any number of weeks. They've got the talent here. The writing needs to really, they really need to bone up on the show. Hopefully they will.
Yeah. And I think part of the problem is they're not embracing their comic elements like they used to. Like, they're going out of their way to bring us different versions of characters, like the Shade, when they weren't doing that in the first season and a half.
Yes and no. I mean, in some ways they are, because, I mean, all the silliness with Flashpoint and all the wacky changes, whatever, I mean, that does have kind of a comic book feel to it, but it's kind of like I think what you're saying is more wasted opportunities.
Right.
And, you know, like what Dan was saying before about Mirror Master, he probably would, because of the way we kept talking about Mirror Master, he viewed that as a totally missed opportunity, because he was led to believe this is like one of the best Flash films of all time. And it turned out to be some guy in a dopey, you know, suit from the early 90s, who threw the Flash into a mirror. I've looked back on that one, and while I'm still not as negative as Dan is, I've let my disappointment about it kind of fester a bit more since the first
year. That is true. That is true.
Because I just start thinking, yeah, they kind of did fuck that up a little bit, didn't they? I didn't hold their feet to the fire as much as I should have there.
At least there was a compelling 1.5 bank robberies, though, so that was pretty sweet.
Yeah. But that episode with the Shade was
trash,
unforgivably bad, and just why did they even bother? So, and I hate that they're doing that. If you're gonna do lame-o villains, then let it be the lame-o villains. If you want to do the bug-eyed bandit and she's lame, fine, because it's a lame villain. Or the one whose name I can never pronounce with the Pokemon-like name, whatever it is, Tokamachu?
Tokamak!
Whatever. worst villain ever. Fine.
If it wasn't for us calling Shade Shade, I wouldn't even remember that the Shade episode happened, so.
No one does. You know what? I'm actually going to rank this Flash episode poorly just because I'm remembering that Shade episode. Just screw them. Anyway, before we get to the grades or anything, there was something I meant to mention. I had it as a note, again, way back in early December, so it's really going to seem out of place after all this whole conversation. I wanted to mention that a friend of a couple of ours from the message board, old message boards and on a Facebook, Matthew Calder, pointed out something to me that we somehow missed. It was about Jesse Quick, and specifically Jesse Quick's outfit. And we know we like to sometimes get fanboy, geeky, and embarrassing and spend way too much time talking about outfits on this podcast. And I listen back, sometimes it's kind of cringeworthy, but that's what we do. We can't help it. We failed to notice, or at least we failed to mention, if we didn't fail to notice, that Jesse Quick's outfit that was created for her is literally the same outfit that Trajectory, the waste of time villain we got in season 2 wore. It's the same outfit. And no one mentioned that. They didn't mention it on the show, and we didn't mention it on the podcast, and it's really weird.
I have no idea who Trajectory is, though.
The weird female speedster from season 2.
Yeah. Shulan Velocity 9.
Yeah.
She burnt herself out by the end of the episode. Never
if you don't
seen
remember,
again.
It's acceptable.
Yeah, it's okay that you don't remember it.
I didn't remember her either. That's why I didn't say anything about the costume, because it wasn't in my head for me to reference.
Me too. At least that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. But then he mentioned it, and I Googled it, and I brought up images of both of them. I'm like, oh my God, it's the exact same costume. I think the only difference is that they stuck a little Flash emblem in the middle of Jesse Quick's outfit. Other than that, it's exactly the same. To the point where it's like, really, guys? Were you really trying? Is this all about saving money? Is that what this is all about? It was just bizarre. Okay, can we get to the grades? Because we just spent a lot of time on an episode I don't think we liked all that much.
Yes, let's grade these things.
Okay, Vicky, I remember you're still here. Let's start with you. What did you think of that Flash episode, The Present?
I'll give it a 4.
It's a 3.
Jason.
I'm going to go 2.5. My opinion went down just by listening to you guys.
That has happened before.
That's pretty much your shade. Mr. Contrary?
I'm actually, for the fourth week in a row, I'm giving it a 4. Other than the underwhelming Jake Eric relationship with Barry, I thought the rest of the episode really worked well for me. And I especially liked what they did with the Savitar version of Sisko's brother. I thought that worked really well and kind of ratcheted up the tension for that, getting in and out of a box thing. I thought it would work pretty well, so.
Well, although I'm tempted to follow up on what I said and knock it down half a grade because I'm remembering the shade, that's really not fair. I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to do what I wrote down here. I'm giving it a 3.5. So mainly because I love the Jay Garrick stuff. So there's that. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
I'm usually the optimist. How did I get with the lowest score?
That's a question you should ask yourself, not us.
That's why I said it out loud.
It's whatever the mirror is telling you, Jason.
So. Jason, if you want to have... Jason, you can have high standards be your motto for 2017. It's fine. Go for it.
I'm going to try. You damn well better believe it.
And I'll take what I can get as my motto.
So next on our cavalcade of fun here, we are going to get to that mid-season finale, or whatever the hell we call these things, of Arrow. Now that episode was titled What We Leave Behind. Now I'm going to zip line through this one a lot quicker than I did for The Flash because... aside from a few let's never talk about that ever again kind of cracks, this takes place a week after the alien invasion, so things are back at normal in Star City. Most of Green Arrow's recruits, who never seem to venture outside the Arrow Cave, Felicity is becoming more and more unbelievably awkward for some reason, and Curtis again shows why he's Mr. Terrific at getting his ass handed to him, which eventually leads to his husband leaving him. Although any relationship where the fact that he was the world's worst liar was a reason why someone loved him, I don't know. Anyway, other than Curtis getting another Promethean beatdown, the episode is about how Prometheus clearly knows who everyone is, and they're trying to figure out who Prometheus is. Which actually gives us a different sort of flashback story. And it's a story that reminds us of just how insanely violent and ruthless Ollie used to be on this show. So over the course of the rest of the episode, they discover that there's a traitor in their midst, a possible and decidedly anticlimactic deduction as to who the man behind the dark mask is. Everybody feels worse for Ollie having unintentionally killed Felicity's current boyfriend than actually bothering to console her. Fugitive Diggle gets duped into getting caught, and yes, Laurel Lance shows up at the very end. Oh boy, we got a cliffhanger. So, here we go. So by the time this one was over, I kind of thought that Savitar foretelling that we heard on The Flash kind of applied to Arrow, actually. Because he had one shall betray you, check. One shall fall, well, sorta. And one shall feel sorrow worse than death, well, you know, don't know just how sad the likes of Felicity or Curtis are, but, you know, could be one of them. So anyway, speaking of villains, maybe we should finally talk about Prometheus and that whole storyline, you know, the reveals, the whole shebang. My feelings kind of seeped out during my little recap, so I'm going to shut up and hear what you guys think about it. Shkade, let's start with you on this one.
Okay, I'm only going to discuss the Prometheus portion of this, because when it was announced that Prometheus was... Well, first, when they said the villain they were going to have this season was a villain they couldn't have done until the fifth season, I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? It didn't make any sense to me. And then we find out Prometheus is the villain. And again, I'm like, I'm not really seeing how that fits in. By the end of this episode, all those things have been fallen into place, and I understand it. The reason they couldn't do this villain is because this villain is directly related to the way Oliver behaved in season one. Him coming out of that, I actually like. It is a very pertinent and real-world repercussion he's feeling now. Not just things he saw happen, but someone actively involved now coming after him for things he did. Also, they picking Prometheus now actually works. Because in the comics, Prometheus was like an evil Batman. His parents were criminals killed by cops. He grew up to want to destroy them. This plays in that similar thing. It's a dark mirror of what Oliver did. This guy's father, if we're to believe, was killed by Oliver. So now he's going to try to destroy Oliver and remove everything he did. Destroy everything he's done by destroying his legacy, making him look like a monster that he believes he is. I think this works. This is a reveal that once it's done, the guy may be a boring schmuck, but how it works out, we have yet to see. But as of this point, Prometheus is actually an interesting villain for this season. He doesn't want to kill Oliver. That does nothing, because that's just what Oliver was. He's doing something different. He wants to destroy him in every way he can before he ever kills him, because that's a final. That's an easy way out for it. By making Oliver a pariah, a villain, a monster to the city, which he's worked so hard to not be, he's actually doing more damage to him than if he had just killed him. And if this, I hope this continues to play out this way, because this could lead to a great ending for this season. I'm really on the Prometheus train now at this point. This is that I actually really enjoyed this episode just because of that.
Dan, are you at a similar camp, or are you on the other side of the fence with this one?
Sorry, I pushed the wrong button to unmute. I really liked the episode, and I'm enjoying what they're doing with Prometheus. It's working really well. And of course, you know, something Prometheus did made me happy, as you would expect. So since they took the one of the three big bads of the season got a, you know, I'm trying to the character played by Glenn Howerton in season one of Fargo, that he got shumped. So I enjoyed that, since the character was really a loathsome creature causing all sorts of problems and mischief. So, yeah. Well done, Prometheus.
Okay. Jason. Okay. I said your name already.
Yeah. I'm really liking Prometheus. Okay. I have a feeling I know who he is. It flows back to the first season as well, because it's been 4 years now. I don't know if I'm going to keep it to myself. Maybe you want me to tell you. I don't know. Maybe I'll tell you off the air. Fuck it. But I like what Cade said about how he's going to make Ollie pay. And as you said, it was nice to see how violent Ollie really was in the first season, because he was just like shooting people laying on the ground, already hopeless. They're not doing anything. They've already got one arrow in him, and he just walks by and pops another one into him. That's pretty goddamn violent. So, yeah. And you're right about the fact they did not sit there and comfort Felicity. They're just all like, Ollie killed somebody. It's not the first time. I know he feels bad because it's someone close to Felicity, but you know, and I'm surprised Felicity didn't throw more of a fit about that.
Well, yeah.
He's like, what about me?
Come on, the guy who was barely a character at all died. Shouldn't you feel bad? No, Wait, no, wait, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to have fun weighing in on this after Vicky speaks, but Vicky has something she'd like to say, which is always special. So, Vicky?
No, I'm kind of generally agreeing with you guys. I was really liking Prometheus, but I just wanted to say that fight scene between them and the abandoned plant or whatever was fantastic, and the shot of the throwing star slicing through his arrow was incredible.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I part of me wants to move on to the next thing, but I'm not going to just yet because I'm gonna be pull a Dan here. There are things I like about the Prometheus character. I mean, I like the whole menacing tone, and you know, I don't want to kill him. I want to make him suffer. Blah blah. I like all that. The semi-reveal that we got, and something you just said, Jason, still makes me wonder if in fact he is supposed to be the son of that guy, since he was never unmasked. He never gets unmasked. So until the character is actually unmasked, I don't think we've actually gotten a reveal on who he is. We just think we've been led to believe he's this person. I'm sorry, I just find that to be I appreciate it linking back to season one, so I get the whole full circle kind of thing, but coming up with something that didn't actually happen in season one doesn't really mean anything to me. You just kind of, it feels like you just made it up now, so I don't care about this character. It doesn't mean anything to me. I would rather you went back and found a specific episode, and then you could have, you know, plucked a character from that episode and made it. Would have been weird, but at least it might have worked for me a little bit more. I'm just not excited about the origin of Prometheus. Again, I kind of like him as a bad guy, but I don't care as much about why he's doing what he's doing. That feels a little bit on the weaker side to me. So it's not as bad as a Zoom situation. But it reminds me of it just a little bit. So I'm not quite as over the top about it as you guys are. I'm kind of more, it's okay, but I don't know. It works for me enough, but not enough for me to like to rave about it. That's just my opinion. And I really liked the season, you know, but I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Quite frankly, why didn't they lock up the Hood or Arrow? He's really been killing this many people with arrows for the last 5 years? How many people has he killed on this show?
He was a public menace. I mean, seriously, he's not a good person in season one at all.
But did you ever, I mean, it's like Jack Bauer with the number of people he kills. I mean, I don't... Also, am I weird thinking this... I remember reading like comics with Green Arrow way back in the day, and I never really thought about the fact he was firing like actual arrows and never really like killing anybody. Did he ever do that in the comics? I never really got that impression. He's always doing things where people were, you know, tripping over arrows or nets were coming out of them or shit like that. But
I don't really recall him shooting people.
He did it. He did in the Longbow Hunters.
Oh, what the fucking Longbow Hunters?
Okay, that right? I don't, you know. I knew you were gonna say it. We're talking about, you know, classic Green Arrow, not...
It's like using the killing joke for the Joker. Like, the Joker's a rapist. Like, oh, shut up. Anyway. Okay, let's get back to this. What was I going to say? Oh, let's get to... You know what, let's just skip to the end, because I think that's been the thing people have been talking about the most about this episode. Theory time. What's the deal with Laurel Lance showing up? Obviously, there's any number of possible explanations for this. I'd rather hear what your guys' theories are first. So, Vicky, I know that Laurel Lance is like your favorite all-time character. I know you like to dress up as her, we're not talking about cosplay, but anyway. So, what did you think of Laurel Lance showing up at the end? And I know you don't like speculating, but I don't care. I want to hear your theory on what the hell is going on with that.
I was shocked. I didn't see that coming. But actually, this is some place where I do have a theory. we saw there's an Earth 2 Laura Lance, where she's, essentially a villain. So I think that's either that Laurel or a Laurel from another Earth. So that's what I think it is.
So, and your explanation is it's an alternate, another alternate Earth Laurel, like a multiverse.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't think it's like a flashpoint thing and she's suddenly undead because, no, that's not, no.
I think the flashpoint idea to me has to be canceled because they would already be aware of it. She just wouldn't have died to begin with. Like John's daughter being a son or something. That's what they thought happened until they found out, oh, by the way, he used to be a she. And then turns out, Diggle's son is Caitlyn Jenner or something. Anyway, so Jason, what's your theory?
Mine is along the lines of what Vicky said, that it's the Earth 2 Black Siren. I mean, we never really saw her go back to her Earth last year. I mean, she could have just hung around after the big invasion.
I couldn't remember if they killed her off or not. That was where I got confused.
No, I don't think they did.
Because Zoom was like killing everybody else. So, oh wait, she's not Ronnie Raymond. He didn't kill her. So anyway, yeah. Now I know not to ask one of our fellow podcasters here because apparently there's a trailer which kind of gives away the explanation or hints at the explanation for who Laurel Lance is here. Fortunately, I haven't seen it, and I guess the two of you haven't seen it. But no. Shakade has, so we're gonna skip him like he's his usual living in a cave with no electricity kind of self here.
Swamp,
right? Danny, do you have any? Are you thinking it's an alternate version as well, or you usually come up with some interesting crackpot theory? So
no, I think this is Savitar's work. Just like he was, creating like a. Fake Damon Sisko's brother. I think it's something like that. So maybe this is some larger plot that's going on with that.
Okay, did not see. Like I said, an explanation I would not have expected. So I'm probably thinking alternate version too, but I got this weird feeling that they're going to, maybe they'll come up with some wacky way that the Laurel that appeared in the Dream World episode that was created by the Dominators somehow is freed herself from that. And she's actually now in the real world. So that's my crazy theory. Please.
That's very comic booky.
Oh, by the way, if that turns out to be it, I swear I didn't know that. I really literally just made that up just fucking now. Just because I didn't want to say alternate Earth version as well. Although she was better as Black Siren than she ever was as a Black Canary. Let's be honest. So, is there anything else about this specific episode? I know there's a lot of things that we didn't touch on just yet. Or how things look as we're heading into we're in 2017. Guess who's looking at his notes? I don't want to say the rest of the season because we're only 9 episodes in at this point, so that means there's like 14 more to go. So the person who didn't speak before can speak now. Cade, spoilers aside, anything else about this one or the future of this season?
I'm excited for the rest of the season. I understand your concerns about Prometheus not being someone we actually saw in season 1. I'm not too bothered because there's lots of things we might not have seen they could play off of. It's more about what he's doing now that is making the show exciting, less my connection to him actually having something to do with season 1. So I'm waiting to see where this story goes and continues. And how much more trouble he can cause for the rest of the season before they really have to figure out some way of dealing with him, because they have done nothing they've done has dealt with him at this point. He's still causing chaos.
Well, I'll say this in favor of Prometheus, in at least in my slight little tiny little point of view here. I often find the least interesting things about villains are their origins. I always like the villains when they're a villain. I usually find their origins either kind of weak or lame or, yeah, whatever. It's just an explanation that I rarely ever want. So, I mean...
Yeah, that's because you're fixated on their costumes.
Right, because that's me. Well, since you spoke up, Dan, is there anything else you want to say about this episode or how you see the rest of the season going?
I was going to ask you if you guys were satisfied with Evelyn's motivations for, being a double agent or whatever the hell you'd call it.
Yeah, no one even mentioned the Evelyn thing. That's amazing. Vicky.
I have a theory about that. Well, I think since the reveal happened so early, it's like maybe she's still working for Ollie. And the fact that she got in with Prometheus was to get info on Prometheus. At least that's my thinking of it.
That worked out real well for them, didn't it?
Triple agent.
I think it did.
Maybe she's working for Savitar. I'm just
kidding. It just seemed that she revealed herself to the team so soon.
Yeah, because she's young and doesn't understand repercussions.
Yeah.
I thought she was just anxious because she actually had a part, to play.
That too.
I'm in this episode.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I've got lines. There's a scene that I actually am going to play a factor in.
Mm-hmm. So what was her motivation? I think I missed that part.
It's been like a month.
Oliver
ruined
the city. Basically, it boils down to everything Oliver's done hasn't helped the city. It's just made it worse. And
that's
she
her
wants
motivation?
Him gone. Yeah, that's her motivation.
I think that it's consistent with her first appearance last season or whenever it was.
You watched it tonight. I watched it like 2 months ago almost, and I remember that. I'm talking to Jason. Don't worry, Dan. I'm directing that at Jason.
Sorry, yeah. Shkade. Fuck you, Jason. Sorry.
Love you too, Dan.
Love you too, buddy.
So true. So true.
Oh boy.
It's true.
Boy.
Good guy.
That was just my thinking on it.
And I still think Prometheus is Robert Queen, so whatever kind of deceptive game he's playing right now, he hasn't fooled me.
That's pretty deceptive. That's that's interesting theory about that.
That would actually make him more interesting to me. So
I like that theory better than what the other one that floats around.
The Tommy one?
Which is Tommy Merlin.
Yeah, because how the hell is Tommy... Like, okay, I get it, it's a show, but Prometheus is a big fella. Tommy's not big. Is he wearing stilts in that costume?
Hey, he worked out. And he
worked out, had his legs stretched in
Of course that stuff happened.
Yeah, I was hoping they would reveal it this week, and since Jamie Sheridan was just in last week's episode, it would like make sense for him to like be in two episodes in a row. So I'm just they did. And I understand why they did their other reveal, but
Kate, about the size of him, because how black is thinning, it actually also turns out to be heightening.
So
he just has lifts in his shoes.
So if you go out and you wear all black, people think like you're a basketball player. Go check it out. It's really awesome.
Dude, I look like I weigh like 40 pounds when I wear all black. It's ridiculous. I'm just like, one dimensional object.
The Promethean effect.
Even more so than usual.
Right.
I just don't recall them mentioning Tommy so much in the last couple seasons as much as they have this season. It's like they're going out of their way to remind us that he was around.
Yeah, it's too bad he's busy on another TV show, but whatever.
yeah, he's out here in Toronto.
Right. All right, so, okay, you know what? Let's get to the scores then. So, Vicky, what did you think of this episode? Yeah, I talked to him.
I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Shkade.
4. Giving it a 4.
Jason.
4. Another solid effort.
Damn.
And I'm gonna give it a big 4.5. Even though there wasn't any Drago this week, I still thought it was really, really a solid episode with, you know, moving the story forward nicely, killing off somebody in a satisfying fashion, and yeah, I guess that's kind of about sums it up.
I'm going to be knocking it to a 3.5. The flashback was nice to be reminded about how violent Ollie was or can still be at times, but as far as an explanation for Metheus, who cares? And all the stuff with Curtis and his husband and that whole thing just felt lame to me. I just didn't care, you know. Sorry. He's hardly been much of a Mr. Terrific, let's put it that way.
He's been Mr. Okay.
He's been Mr. Meh. Alrighty.
For a second there, I thought I'd had the lowest score.
No. Wait till we get to the next one. No, just kidding. And speaking of the next one, that means we've arrived at... I've been waiting for this whole podcast just to hear the tune. We're here waiting to get to Legends of Tomorrow. Now, this episode of Legends of Tomorrow was titled The Chicago Way. And thankfully, this episode wasn't about a sludgy excuse for pizza, but about our heroes, our legends, traveling back to Chicago in the 1920s, the era of, you know, Prohibition, flappers, Tommy Guns, and Al Capone. So we see our dastardly duo has become a terrible trio of villains as Damian Dark and the Reverse Flash welcome aboard Malcolm Merlyn. Of course, since Merlyn was basically a sycophant to Dark last season on Arrow, I kind of wonder if he's not quite on the same tier as the other two more powerful guys here. Anyway, they're up to no good in the 20s, showing up to help Capone avoid his eventual date with prison and syphilis by taking out Elliot Ness and making that McGuffiny ledger go bye-bye. So Capone actually ends up being the mayor of what was the most corrupt city in the country then and now. Oh, sorry, Vicky. Anyway. So, the team tries to put a stop to that plan, but some folks got some issues going on. Marty's distracted by new memories of his time aberration of a daughter. Mick keeps having visions of his dead partner. Ray and Nate seem to be vying for the dorky and blandly good-looking guy who's supposed to be smart but seems to do dumb things all the time award. And, I don't know, I guess the other ladies seem to have their shit together in this episode, come to think of it. Anyway, in order to save Marty, Sarah, and the team, they trade the real MacGuffin of the season so far, that amulet thingamabob, and then we first get wind of the Spear of Destiny, which I'm sure at some point in the next 10 minutes, one of our resident comic book geeks here will explain in a nice, simple, and concise way to everybody. I'll just say in this recap, it's a weapon or tool of enormous power. And I think Hitler once got it. Anyway, it's been a while, my memory, you know. So, but who cares about what happens for the first 45, 50 minutes? We got the biggest what the fuck moment of the week. And what might be, in my opinion, I'm saying it now in the recap, don't care. It could be the best cliffhanger I've seen on this show outside of hearing the words Justice Society of America last season. We finally see when and where Rip Hunter is. And I don't think anyone saw that coming. So that's enough. I'm going to knock it back to you guys. And let's start where I just left off with that WTF, which is I know Vicky would have preferred I said, ending.
Vicky, what's that stand for? I don't remember. Google it quick and then tell me.
I know. It's what the fudge.
I thought she was going to say that. I was really upset. What the fooey?
Okay, shut up, Jason. If we're talking about syphilis now, we'd introduce you, but we're talking about, you know, acronyms.
So syphilis just got mentioned twice in a minute on this podcast. Best podcast ever.
Oh, syphilis is no gonorrhea.
This is the STVD podcast, so whenever we can talk about actual
Thank God. I'm glad someone finally mentioned that, because that's what I always think of too. I was like, always have to put the V in there.
If someone ever listened to like our earlier podcast, it got mentioned more than once in our podcast. But you know, so fuck you for not being a former listener of ours. We don't now we're gonna skip you and talking about no anyway.
We can't skip him. He never talked about Legends. We have to have him. This is a monumental moment.
Oh my God, that's right. It didn't even occur to me.
Yeah. As you have you talked about Legends at all this season? Have you seen a single episode and actually podcasted about it?
Twice.
I have seen a couple episodes, but I've not podcasted about it yet.
Okay, so he gave us scores on two, but he didn't actually wasn't on the podcast. So this is going to be weird. He's going to talk about a show we haven't heard him talk about.
Well, then God damn it, I'm going to lead off with him. So Rip Hunter. He's a movie director in the 60s, and he doesn't have a British accent anymore.
Yeah, Jason, who saw that coming? Nobody. Nobody saw that coming. I mean, why? Why is he there? I mean, that's the most obvious question, right? Why the fuck is he there? But there's your WTF.
There's so many whys. I mean, why doesn't he have a British accent? Why a movie director? Why the 60s? Why?
Exactly. You know, I'm sure it's going to make sense at the end of the, you know, eventually. Maybe it won't make sense. Maybe they're just throwing it out there just to grab us. Well, you know what? It worked. It worked. It's got us talking about it at the top of this episode. But anyway, I just want to say this show feels completely different from the first season.
No.
Welcome to the podcast.
Wow. And in other news, Flash isn't as good as it used to be.
I feel like some of us may have said that before.
Uh-huh. Well, I've listened in on
that's true. He has been a good soldier. He's he sat on the bench listening to us go on about it.
Let's see if we could not do this one far longer than we usually do.
Yeah, well, I just have to say I'm enjoying Legends, but I enjoyed the first 10 minutes and the last 10 minutes. All the rest I really didn't care about as much, because I liked the byplay of Nate and Ray and Sarah being the mom.
Oh, that part's great.
To calm down and they're like, what was that all about? You know, but that I like that part.
So, okay. I'm tired of you now. So Dan, I was kind of curious because, you know, me and you, we like to talk movies and stuff. So the fact that Rip Hunter is a movie director in the 60s, I would love to think of the kind of movies he might be directing, although I guess we hint that he's doing a movie about, like, himself or something. I'm not really clear on that. But what did you think of that ending? And I'm assuming no one saw it coming, but just was that kind of a fun cliffhanger for you?
Yeah, English, not my strong suit. It completely came out of left field for me, and I didn't really know how to take it until after the fact. So I didn't give it a ton of thought. I'm not really sure what they're going to do with it, but just, you know, since it, like I said, it came out of nowhere, I really don't have any context where I can apply to it. So I don't know what they're going to do, but it'd be interesting if they had just like an entire episode of him just making like some weird 60s sci-fi movie and just like didn't have any of the other characters in it. Just to do something different, that'd be kind of cool.
I would love that, actually. That would be great. Especially if they got some, like, maybe some fun guest stars, you know, or that would be kind of cool. I agree. Skade.
Of all the places and finally see Rip Hunter again, this is the best place for it. This is the most entertaining place. Traveling through time, doing his usual thing, boring. Having him apparently not know who he is, or knowing and just completely faking it, and doing a movie about himself, that's just fantastic. That's just fun. That's something that I feel this show didn't have last season and is doing more of. Fun little moments like that. It's great. Hopefully they play it out for a little while longer, and it's just not like the next episode. They pick him up, and they're like, hey, you're Rip Hunter, and he remembers again. I want to see more of this. Almost like they have to try to somehow work through the 60s, through the movies, get on the set, try to work his memory back. That's what I want to see.
I'm assuming it's going to take at least one full episode to get him back on track. I'm sure it's not going to get results like that. That would be super lame if they did that. I love the cliffhanger. This was of that week of television, of these three shows, this was one of the few things I genuinely would say I loved, because it just because it was so unexpected, because it was such so goofy. I will admit, and someone who doesn't want to speak right now would probably agree with me, it might have been funny if instead of being a director on a movie set, if he had been directing like a bad sci-fi TV show or goofy TV show from the 60s because of this actor's connection to a certain other sci-fi show. Unfortunately, she doesn't want to speak right now, so she's not here to remind us what show the actor is from, so we'll never know. But that I thought that they almost could have had a really super meta, and I don't mean meta human, reference there. Which so they kind of dropped the ball, but I didn't care because it was so cool. But that really would have been funny, you know, especially if they had like a phone booth or something in that or something. Wow, you're not going to say anything. Wow. Anyway,
I don't know what to say.
No, not you. with the Doctor of the Who and the such. Anyway. All right.
You mentioned it in our last podcast that I did with you guys.
No. You're back to your mute button. Hush. All right. Let's talk about the so-called Legion of Doom. Let's talk about it, because speaking of things that are really fun on this show and what's such a major improvement over the dreary, shitty Savage of season one is, you know, the combo of Dark and the Reverse Flash, and now you throw Merlin into that mix? So it's like, which one of us is going to chew more scenery and have more fun doing it than any of these scenes with these three together? That to me, that's one of the best things about this season so far. So, Vicky, now I make you talk. What do you think about our terrible trio here?
They were awesome. It was interesting just seeing how like each of those three had their different areas of their plan or whatever they specialized in. And I really wasn't very fooled that it was Reverse Flash that had taken the place of Stein. I mean, it was pretty obvious. I think we all kind of saw that coming. It was really good. I liked seeing, you know, Sarah and Malcolm fight on the ship. It's always fun to get to see the, you know, League of Assassins train people fight against one another. So, and then it's going to be interesting to see going forward how, if they, you know, grow this collective of villains or whatever, or if they just have the main three.
That's actually a good question. Do we think they're going to add any other villains, or are we just sticking with these three? And do we think they even need to add other villains? Shkade?
I would say no. I don't see why you would need any more. The three of them, even though I think you're right, Malcolm does kind of seem like lower level. Like, we'll use him as a lackey at times, but keep him around because he's useful. But what more do you need when you have Dark, you have Reverse Flash, you have Malcolm Merlin? What are they missing that would require another member to the group besides being outmatched? But they're not. They've already proven the Legends can't outmatch them if they actually wanted to. Reverse Flash took down most of the crew on the ship before he got sidetracked. This group is fantastic. It's actually nice having villains who aren't terrible. You're like, they could be a real problem. And now what they're planning, whatever it is next and how they're going to do it, I'm excited. I like the villains. Chances are they'll add somebody else, but I don't really think they need to at this point.
I'll say that I was maybe somewhat misled or just got confused maybe it's this episode that did the confusing, I guess, and I heard about it well in advance. I thought they were going to come up with a way to bring back Captain Cold and he was actually going to be a member.
I thought he was supposed to be a member from what the early talks about it.
And that way you'd have an equal distribution of Flash villains and Arrow villains together. You'd have another personality who's definitely different than the other three in the mix. I just thought that would have been an interesting dynamic. I know some people say, "Oh no, he's been redeemed," and he's like, "No. He's a villain. Shut up. He's a bad guy." But apparently that's not what they're doing, although who knows what could happen in whatever remains this season. I think at this point it's just going to be these three, because I don't know how many episodes are left, because they're having a shorter season for this show. Is it like 13?
Yeah, I think so.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And this was number, was this eight? Was this the eighth episode? I don't think they got into nine. I think this was the eighth episode.
Yes, this was eight.
So they got five. Okay, wait, they got five more. Oh, maybe they could get away with it, I suppose. We'll see. But, you know, they have to have at least one shitty episode, which is going to bring back the Hawks or Endor Savage. So we know we're going to have to sit through that, I'm sure. But
it's 17 episodes.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Jason, see, now there was a reason for you to be here. Thank you, Jason.
You're welcome.
now go back to the bench bubble over there. Anyway.
Wait my turn.
Oh. So, Dan, when, again, going back to our best of 2016, you actually ranked Legends higher than both Arrow and Flash, and I think it was a lot of it was on the strength of what's gone on this season, because I think if it had just been the first season, it wouldn't have been on your list no matter what. At least I like to think that. So I think one of the things we can agree on is it's not having stupid Savage. So does that mean that you're kind of enjoying the way the villains are being done here?
Yeah, I think it's working out really well. I think their team, maybe their team could use a flyer, since the Legends seem to have enough people that can fly that maybe it would make sense to have somebody that could do that. I don't know if it's really necessary. And I suppose Reverse Flash can kind of, I don't know, get up into the air using tornadoes and stuff, but that isn't super effective. But I don't really think that there needs to be a for one thing, the relationship between Malcolm and Damian Dark here, I mean, I'm not really clear exactly how it works out, because this is like a past Damian Dark who like didn't have Malcolm as a lackey, and maybe this Malcolm like was Damian's lackey, and at that point Damian had like some kind of like artifact or something that made him super powerful. So I kind of feel like they're on a, like a similar level here as to, you know, what their like relationship with each other is. I don't know where exactly, like I said, I don't know where from the timeline Malcolm came in, or, you know, if he even knows him at this point from that stuff. But I think it's a really nice team.
Yeah, I think we know Malcolm is after Laurel dies, because he even tells Sarah about it.
Oh, yeah.
So he is after the whole Dark thing, when he knows Dark in Arrow from last season.
But
of course, Dark knows that, too. Dark, you know, I mean, because...
But does Dark
this
know
Dark
that?
Was, well, yeah, because this Dark was told that by Sarah before he got plucked out of the time stream or wherever. Because remember Sarah like told him, like, you know, your plan's gonna lose, you know, you're gonna do this shit, whatever, and then after that,
oh yeah, she did. Oh, because again
these characters don't seem to care about the rules of time. They just keep screwing. That's the only thing I try to ignore on this show, is like, I've never seen any show or movie that so willfully just ignores anything about, you know, not screwing with the time stream. And then they make a big deal, like, oh, he has a daughter. Really? Do you know how many things you've done? you were superheroes fighting the Nazis. No one saw that? You didn't kill them all. Anyway. So, what else do we have here? Oh, maybe we should talk about, you know, the other Legends, and speaking... like Marty and his guilt about, you know, that time aberration that resulted in a daughter and all that kind of stuff.
Can I say one thing?
Go ahead.
It's not dumb. I just want to say that they're able to do something on Legends that they're not able to do on Flash and Arrow. That's get these villains together and have a big story that doesn't interfere with the Flash and Arrow stories. So that's what I like about this show.
Okay. That's it. I'm glad we stopped for that. No, I'm just
You're welcome.
Yeah, maybe you should just stick to the statistics, and we'll let, you know, Scott, Vicky, Shitcade, and myself talk about the benefits.
It's cool.
No, wait. I'm making a note, because I'm going to make a special thing in the chapters for just what Jason's saying. That, so I guess we might point out where that is on this. Okay. So what was I saying? Oh, Mark. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. let's talk about the Marty and Jack stuff and the Mick and Lenny stuff. So, Vicky, feels like I haven't heard you for a little bit. So, what did you think of how they handled this? And do you have any insights or opinions on this? Oh, then I liked it. I'm just kidding. Just fucking with it. Go on.
It is. I want to make it. I haven't been super keen on the whole secret daughter thing, and then, you know, at the end of the episode, Sarah was like, okay, you know, whatever, I guess I'm okay with it now, because we're family and whatnot, so I'm very blah about that, but I enjoyed the Mick hallucinating snart stuff. That made for some good material, just with everyone would be like, who are you talking to? Oh, no one. And just, it's interesting because it seemed like, you know, this wasn't necessarily, you know, snart. This was just kind of obviously like Mick's inner voice saying, don't do what your partner did. Don't become all good. You know, this is, otherwise it's going to get you killed. So.
Oh, interesting.
No.
No, as in
it's Savitar.
That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, see, they're setting up some big thing with all these dead people hassling our characters. I'm not sure what they're going to do, but hopefully they pull together in some sweet crossover that somehow Jason hasn't spoiled for me yet.
Sometimes I have to admit that I find this trope of the person talking to the dead person that's haunting them thing. It seems to happen on almost every other TV show I've watched over the years, to varying degrees. And we're talking like good shows, like great shows even, you know, have done that. But at a certain point, I'm like, oh, again? But again, I don't mind because we got to see Wentworth Miller on the show again. That was kind of fun. It reminded me, oh, I wish you'd killed Brandon Routh's character instead, or Ruth, whatever the fuck his name is. I don't care. As far as the Marty stuff, here's the thing. Do I care that much about the whole secret daughter thing and what that represented? Not much. What I liked about it was I liked the Marty and Jack scenes. I thought that was really good. And that's kind of what made that work for me. I mean, Jack's making a reference to, you know, using a condom. That alone was kind of stuck in my memory. Like, oh, that's something I didn't expect to hear on this show. But I enjoyed that aspect of it. Do I care that much more about it? No, I think they were just trying to show something about how a time aberration could result in something which is kind of innocent or positive, and whether or not you would do anything to change. I'm still wondering if that's the end of it, or if something's going to still have to happen, which to make that go bye-bye, which would be a nice bit of tragedy to have on the show. But would we feel anything, because do we actually care about that the secret daughter character? No, we're not going to see her much, so why would we care?
Yeah, but we care about Marty, so I think that'd be sure. Enough to
bring that no, right. No, but you know what I mean. It would work up to a point, but it wouldn't work as well as if it was a character that we cared more about. It'll just be only us being empathetic with him, but not us caring about her. That's so you only get like one level as opposed to two, I suppose. Yep. Okay, so beyond that, is there anything else about either this episode or any sort of expectations for the rest of the season? I don't personally know if I've been spoiled on anything for the rest of the season. Thank God. So what do you guys think?
I've got a question for Vicky.
Okay.
Vicky, now you live in Chicago and this episode takes place there in the past, and also you're known to have an alcohol problem. So did watching all these Chicago people trying to plot and scheme and find ways to keep drinking during Prohibition, did that kind of hit too close to home for you? Or did it feel like a really nice, satisfying representation of your beloved hometown? And your own struggles with alcohol? Go on.
No, I got a kick out of it, obviously, because, you know, it's part of the history of the area that I'm from. So all, you know, a lot of the stuff that they were talking about was very familiar. But that kind of goes with the question I was going to ask for you guys. Obviously, I don't really know, because I've, you know, I'm from the Chicago area, and I've kind of, you know, just grown up hearing all the stories about, you know, Al Capone and whatnot. How much do you guys hear, you know, hear about that? Because obviously all Ray got knew about Capone was from the Untouchables.
Yay. I've never heard of him.
Sarcasm is sharp.
I'm close enough to you where there's like Al Capone related stuff up in my area. So like he had like different like, you know, lairs and hideouts and stuff up in the north woods of Wisconsin. Yeah, he did, and stuff.
That's where he was trucking it out of Canada and stuff, using the woods up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that. I mean, I don't know who he is, so I don't know where that information came from in my head. I'm guessing. I mean, logically, that would make sense.
I enjoyed the guy that played him in this episode a lot more than the General Grant we saw in the Civil War episode, too. I mean, this guy was, like, obviously, like, a Canadian, just doing, like, a crazy over-the-top 20s accent, but it worked really well for me. I thought it fit with, like, the kind of the whole over-the-top nature of the episode.
Right. Yeah, because, like, it's so funny, because my sister and I were arguing about this, because she was saying it sounded like he had more of a Wisconsin accent.
Oh, fuck her. Fuck her. He's wrong. You're right.
This show's Maris.
And I was saying, no, it's kind of more of this, just that super exaggerated, you know, Chicago accent, like, you know, the, you know, duh bears and all that kind of stuff.
But Capone really didn't sound like that, so... I know a pretty decent amount about Al Capone, and not just from the Untouchables movie, which had such a great soundtrack. That's why we hopefully used it on this podcast. But I've read about Al Capone. I have seen also several other movies and TV shows that dealt with him. Boardwalk Empire had a lot of Al Capone stuff in the last few seasons, which was really well done.
Yes.
So I had to kind of just smile and not really give much credence to what they were doing on this, because, you know, they're not really going for anything that would feel even remotely authentic on Legends of Tomorrow. I mean, I don't buy this guy being Al Capone any more than the guy who was Einstein in that other episode or whatever.
If nothing else, this show is historically accurate.
So... My appreciation of the episode is basic, as far as that's concerned, was like, I love things that take place in any time between the 20s to the 40s, whether it be movies, TV shows, whatever. So whenever they go to that era, I'm going to enjoy it, just because I like the fashions, I like the look, I like the style, I like the way characters would tend to speak, that we've learned from movies of that era and so on. So I enjoyed it. Do I think this guy reminded me at all of any depiction of Al Capone? No. not even remotely. Did I care that much? No, not really, because the Capone stuff was kind of a side note to the episode. I never felt like that was the focus, so I didn't care. If it had been the focus of the episode, like say the Einstein thing was in that other episode, it probably would have bothered me a lot more. I mean, for example, did we see Capone anywhere outside of that dock? Was he always just like on that dock and nowhere else in the episode? Is that correct?
Most of the time, yes, he was on the dock.
Did we see him? Where else did we see him? I don't remember seeing him anywhere else.
Wasn't he in the warehouse when they stole his thing?
Well, yeah.
Did we see him there?
Yeah. Oh, the warehouse. You know what? All these shows with their warehouses, I get them all confused. Yeah. So it's like, you know, I want to see one of these shows, Arrow, go an entire season, Arrow, without, you know, an abandoned warehouse or Arrow. Or now what Arrow's doing. Yes, I'm going back to the episode we did before. I'm playing a Dan or Jason here. I'm sorry. So instead of going to the annoying abandoned warehouse sets that they do all the time, which annoys the fuck out of me, now it's like, hey, we rented out this floor of an office building that we haven't really been working on, so we're going to use that instead. Now that's what they're doing on. I was like, this show has no sense of art direction for sets whatsoever. Anyway, back to Legends of Tomorrow. I enjoyed it, so someone else want to talk so I can, you know, about what they think?
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously not trying to be accurate with their depictions of the 20s, but, you know, as long as it's fun, like, you know, they can act like the aliens on Sigma Aosha, too, and just, like, you know, have fun being fun, corny gangsters.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I find the characters in the holograms on the Star Trek shows to be more believable than what I've seen on Legends, but it doesn't bother me because I don't care that much. It doesn't, just for whatever reason, I'm not letting it bother me. Vicky, I'm sorry.
They should have played Fizbin in the episode, though. That would have been cool.
Vicky.
But yeah, no, like, I don't know, like, I'm not, like, a Capone historian or anything. So I don't know if that was, like, the actual dock number he used or the locations were 100% accurate. But I kind of just, they made a general effort, which I appreciated.
He wore a hat and a coat. Yeah, no, I got it.
No, and like the train station actually looks like Union Station here in Chicago, so it has a similar feel to it. So
not like in The Untouchables. I know, I'm sorry.
I haven't seen either. That. No. I'm surprised.
I'm sorry, what'd you say, Dan?
Oh, I'm not a historian either, but the cement galoshes thing, I mean, that's a common misconception, but actually what they used were one slice of pizza in their boot.
I actually have a note here saying that Dan will compare Chicago pizza to cement boots. I knew it. It's my only prediction I got right so far.
I would have been disappointed if he hadn't, really. I mean, I don't want to say I'm expecting things, but there's some things I'm expecting.
Yeah, and I like Chicago pizza, but it's fun to make fun of.
What the stick your feet in. And also, I want to agree with something Jason said at the very top. Although I found a lot of their interplay afterwards to be kind of not all that interesting, I did like Nate and Ray, kind of the whole play fighting and Sarah being the mom thing. I enjoyed that a lot, too. I thought that was actually genuinely funny to me. I didn't care for their interactions for the rest of the episode. I thought, whatever. But I did think that part was funny. Do you guys have anything else you want to say about this episode, or do we want to move on to the scores?
I say let's go to the scores.
Yep.
Ooh, okay. Well, then we're going to start with our little dose of estrogen. Vicky, what did you think of... Yeah, because the rest of us are so manly. Anyway, talking about outfits and shit. And yellow boots. Anyway, so, Vicky, what did you think of the Chicago Way?
I'm going to give it a 4. It was... almost 4.5, but not quite.
Alrighty then. Shitcade.
I'm giving it a 4.
Coincidentally, shitcade is what we'll be referring to the presidential motorcade in the future if any hookers show up.
Shitcade's where you go and all they have is like Pong and baby Pac-Man, which sucked.
Well, you know, the Chicago sunroof is a... shit related, so.
I better call Saul.
That's when you drop a pizza on someone's head. Bit the Chicago pizza. So, Jason. Wait, Kate, did you give a grade? I didn't hear what you said.
A 4.
Oh, you're a 4. Okay. Jason.
I'll go 4 as well.
Oh, I see a streak coming. Dan?
And I'm going to give it a 4.5. I enjoyed it an awful lot. And, I spent about 5 minutes laughing when Ray pointed out that Nate looks like Brad Pitt, and then just look on his face. I mean, it was just, I really, really, really liked it. So, and I can't wait to see what they do next.
So I am going to be giving it a 4, like the other folks here outside of Daniel. The Malcolm stuff, I really enjoyed, just his presence on the show, and the the what the fudge ending really helped rank this one higher than the other two episodes this week, which is really like 7,000 weeks ago, whatever the heck. Okay, so...
Yeah, and Vicky, tell Satan that it's not a fucking Wisconsin accent, so we'll bang on the wall.
Jump on her bed or something.
Wisconsin, I don't sound like that guy. Believe me, I don't.
But I never really thought about it. Dan, is what you have, is that a Wisconsin accent?
I don't know. It's a lispy, swearing thing. I don't know what I sound like. Hey, I'm some guy that, like, maybe hit puberty. Well, yay, congratulations. It don't sound like fucking Canadians. It's just a common misconception from some people that just don't get out a lot. What can I say? Some people don't get out a lot. Don't understand.
Well, Dan, I've had 152 episodes to figure this out.
52?
152.
Is that your way of saying this is episode 152?
Yeah.
It's episode
trying to be clever.
Oh, that's cute.
I'll try again.
It's cute. it's like a monkey putting on an outfit.
actually, Jason, I'm going to release this late. This is going to be episode 153, and we're going to re-release. We're going to do episode 152, New Year's Recriminations, where I really feel bad about my stupid top 10 and redo it. So
it's never going to happen.
It's 152.
And people kind of like, what did he put on his list? It's like, oh.
Now there's going to be people actually going to be waiting for that episode to come out.
Yeah, well, anyway. All right, so if you enjoyed this podcast, you'll enjoy the previous 151, or, well, actually, you probably won't enjoy all of them. But you can find them on iTunes. Well, maybe not all of them, but you can find all of them. On iTunes, you can subscribe to the podcast there. It's the Serious TV Drama Podcast. You can also rate and review us there as well. As Vicky said earlier in the podcast, which is why I didn't lead off with it, you can also find us on the Facebook, find our page, the Serious TV Drama Podcast, like the page, join the page, and join the conversation about shows like this and also shows that are a lot better. And finally, you can also follow us on Twitter. Our handle there is at STVD Podcast. It's STVD as in Serious TV Drama. I don't know why I need to spell that every time. It's like a really dumb running thing I do. Okay, so that's it. It's great to be back with the whole gang for the first time in what seems like a year. It was sometime last year.
It was last year.
I know.
ha ha ha.
Well, it is nice for everyone to be back, and we, for a minute there, we were doing this in a pretty timely fashion, so that's pretty cool. So, thanks to you guys to coming back, and thanks to everyone who actually was willing to sit through yet another of our podcasts. You guys can talk now.
Oh, good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
The monarch of motion, the sultan of speed, the wizard of whizzle, yes indeed. Go from here to China in a no time flat, beat the speed of light and you can't beat that. The
Flash, the Flash,
meet the mighty Flash.
The Flash, the Flash,
in a fight he'll smash and crash, smash a whole gang of crooks or schnooks. Hey, he'll just clobber any kind of bad guy, thief or robber, the world's fast. Yeah, man, the Flash,
the unbeatable Flash, the unbeatable Flash.
No one knows Barry Allen is his real name, works with the police, justice is his aim, wears a ring with the Flash's uniform in it when danger threatens.